Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you want to meet myself and Ollie Davis of Wrestle Ramble fame? Well, you can do just that by joining us at Wrestling Media Con on September 8th and 9th from the Bowlers Exhibition Centre in Manchester, England. Ollie and I will be doing a live episode of Wrestle Ramble as well as signings and photos. But that's not all. Wrestling Media Con will have shows from Cultaholic, Inside the Ropes, Wrestling with Regret, Don Callis, Botchamania, Art of Wrestling, Sean Waltman, and more. There will also be the first ever Wrestling Media Hall of Fame and wrestling shows from Impact Wrestling, where they will be taking on the best the UK has to offer, and Revolution Pro Wrestling, featuring the legendary Jushin Thunder Liger defending his British J Cup crown. Tickets are on sale now, so head over to WrestlingMediaCon.com. That's WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, SWAF Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm good. I am a little bit achy because yesterday was our first ever dance routine rehearsal.
Yesterday.
Just me and you. Laurie couldn't make it, but he's coming. We're doing another one this afternoon.
Yesterday being Wednesday because we're recording on a Thursday.
Yeah, so it's coming together, though. It's coming together quite nicely.
Well, yeah, because if you are listening to this and you're going to be heading to Wrestling Media Con, or you're already at Wrestling Media Con, which is currently going on as this podcast goes live, you'll get to see us do the dance routine that we have been rehearsing on our Sunday panel, which, yeah, it was happening on Sunday at
4 p.m.
4 p.m.
4 p.m.
We're on stage.
It says 4 to 5 p.m. We're not going to fill that hour.
No.
It's 4 to about 4:36. You know?
Yeah. Depends on how much the Cultaholic lads waffle on, I suppose.
Stupid Cultaholic lads.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got a fun show planned. I think it's good.
I think it's good. And I really enjoyed the dance lesson more than I thought I was going to. I'll be honest with you. When we showed up and the dance teacher was really cool and she was like, let's just do a warm-up, I instantly became self-conscious. Because you're just staring at yourself in these massive mirrors. And I was like, I don't want to be here.
I don't know what I'm going to do without the mirror. Because a lot of me knowing what to do is looking at myself and going, ah, yeah, that guy's showing me what to do. But now I'm going to have to get used to not doing it with a mirror. And I'm conscious about how much space we've got to play with. We've been leaping around.
And we've no idea what the stage looks like at this point.
Yeah, we'll find out Friday.
Yeah, we'll find out tomorrow.
So yesterday. The time machine of recording stuff in advance.
Absolutely. But I thought it
was... And we don't know what Laurie dance is like.
But he's going to be the best of the three of us.
Do you reckon?
I guarantee you he will be the best of the three of us.
He'll just break out some break dancing moves.
I'm bringing the team down a little bit, but he's going to raise up the bar a little bit.
I think we're consistent.
Consistent is a good way to put it.
So the great thing about it is she's put in so many different moves that it's like we're better than we are.
Yes.
And just us remembering all the moves, I think, will be enough for people.
And she has made it idiot-proof.
There's a few
bits. There's a few sections there. Like when the first thing we did with like the crossing legs, I was like, you've already gone too far, mate. You've complicated this more than it needed to have been complicated. Because then you have to do hand movements as well.
Yeah, she was like, and now let's add the hand movements in. I was like, what? I thought this bit would be easy.
Yeah, there are a couple of bits where we get to have a little bit of a break, and those are the bits I like the most. Got a quick message from Marcel Drurer, who we actually missed. So we were going to... He sent in a Poetry Corner submission, and I mentioned his Poetry Corner submission, and I was about to read it. Then I started talking about the Steven Spielberg marathon that I ended up not doing.
Oh.
And we didn't actually read the poem.
Sorry, Marcel.
So, very sorry about that. He's also sent a couple of Patreon questions in, which we'll get to in a mailbag. Not this mailbag, unfortunately, but we will get to a mailbag at certain dates. So this comes from Marcel Drurer, and it's a poem called The Old One and the Younger. Two gladiators are facing off tonight. The old one and the younger are ready for the fight. Both of them are used to this, the grandest stage. Both of them are icons. One is of elder age. The older one inspired the younger to be the best he can. When he was just a child, he was his biggest fan. So now they fought together. It's about respect and pride. Now clear to all who are watching, the younger wins this fight. It sort of rhymes. Now, both of them are crying. The drama is too real. Even sitting at home, the heartache I could feel. The old icon is bleeding. He's yelling, bring it on. He would never stop fighting. It is his swan song. Be careful, then you notice that the kid's about to say, I'm sorry, I love you, as he kicks his chin away. The legend hits the floor. His career found an end. Everyone's heart breaking, as it was the intent.
Bravo.
Bravo.
Bravo. Of course, Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair, WrestleMania 25, 4, because Taker Michaels was 25.
Yeah, sorry. That's exactly where I went to. I was instantly thinking The Undertaker, which is not the way I was meant to be thinking.
You know, the first half of that, before they said the younger one won, and it had the stuff of pride and all that, I was thinking, is this about Tanahashi and Ibushi from the G1 final?
Yeah.
What a man.
What a match. So thank you very much for that poetry submission. We will be back in the outro portion of this show. But if you do want to get in touch with us, email me at luke@wrestletalk.com. Here is the show.
Right now, we are at Wrestling MediaCon, pooping our pants, because tomorrow we do a live on-stage dance routine.
Absolutely. I think by the time this has gone live, we'll have done our Indie Darling show, Darling show, with Brian Zane from Wrestling with the Regret, Matthew from Botchamania, and some lad called Adam Pacitti, who I've barely heard of.
Yeah, freakishly tall. Suspiciously tall.
Suspiciously tall.
Tom Phillips.
Yeah, he's definitely got lifts in his boots. So we've done that show, which you can obviously watch on Fight TV, but also we're going to be doing our show tomorrow, The Punishment, where we're going to do our dance routine. We're probably rehearsing that routine as we speak.
Yes, drunk. We've got some surprises for you as well.
Oh, we have. And it's not just the dancing.
Yeah. But last weekend, it's kind of like, it's interesting how these two independent things have happened so close to each other. Like, from what I understand, these dates weren't announced. Like, the two things weren't aware of each other, but you've got All In and StarCast last weekend, and this weekend you've kind of got the UK equivalent, which is Wrestling MediaCon with the Impact versus UK show and the Rev Pro British J Cup. We're going to get to see Bandido.
I know. and Liger again.
Yes.
Yes, I'm really excited to see Liger.
So it's just this larger conversation of WWE and All In, and how that the players that are going to become a part of this.
Yes.
So I'm thinking the major players at the moment are the Elite family. So that's Cody Rhodes, that's Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Marty Scurll, Hangman Page.
Yes.
Those are the five, well, six, because the Bucks are kind of two people. And interestingly, as part of All In and the bit afterwards, Cody said, the next move we're going to make, we're going to make it together and we're going to stick together.
Love that.
And having seen All In, I've got to think that it's not with WWE.
It has to be at this point, right? It has to be them sticking out on their own. Like, I think Meltzer was talking about this on Wrestling Observer Radio, talking about like the amounts of money that was made at that show. Like, by all accounts, Pro Wrestling Tees made just shy of $500,000.
Okay, so the number I've seen is that, but over the last 4 months.
Oh,
so
that's
not that weekend.
Okay, I was going to say, the way Meltzer phrased it was that weekend.
But I might be wrong. That's what I've... Meltzer knows more than me, but I think I read other sites.
You're trying to say you know more than Dave Meltzer?
No, I think Meltzer knows more But I read everything.
No, I know.
I don't think Meltzer reads every insignificant tweet.
But like, so a lot of money was made, and they were super proud of that show as well. So like, you can imagine, you know, this is something they put their heart and soul into, something that they promoted themselves, something they wanted to prove that they could do. To then just go like, now we're going to go sign with WWE.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see
that
happening.
The perfect bargaining chip.
Yeah, I just don't see that happening. Mm. What I instead see is All In 2. I see more of these shows. We just kind of speculated about this previously, that if, you know, All In is a success, which it was going to be because it sold out its tickets, 11,000 tickets it sold out in the end. 11,263, I think, was the number.
Even more successful
than we thought it was originally. So you got, like, that incredible number. We were like, cool, then you do another show. And rather than call that All In, you know, All In 2, you do in September next year, and you could do like four shows a year, these sort of four big massive mega touring show things. Do them in the UK, do them elsewhere. It'd be amazing.
Yeah, so in terms of structure, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think everyone really gets caught up in the WWE way of telling stories, which is weekly television and a pay-per-view every month. But really, most indie promotions, and certainly like back in the when WWE started, they didn't have weekly. They had like a weekly syndicated thing, but it was the big pay-per-view shows every 2-3 months that they were built towards in the 80s and early 90s. And I think the best model for All In, at least at the start, so at least for the next year, is four big shows, and being the elite is essentially your superstars.
Absolutely. I mean, I would probably say do two big shows, and but using being the elite, because they used that so smartly and so well to build All In and the storylines that were going into it. And it's such a well-produced show, and it's fun to watch. It's so digestible, which I think is, I'm not trying to say that as like a negative thing, like, oh, that's easy to watch. But it's a way to, like, they get all of their storylines over so well in that show.
And that there's something for everyone. There's like zany stuff, there's insider stuff, and then there's fantastic wrestling as well.
Yeah.
That's the one tweak I would make to Being the Elite to make this structure work, and that is have matches, like one match per episode, but you're just like, you know, these are big enough guys. The Bucks go, oh, can we film our tag match against Pentagon and Phoenix at
PWG?
Know, yeah, but not be, they wouldn't allow it, but like Defy Wrestling,
yeah,
like,
okay,
say like a or an AAW show,
yeah, yeah,
and those independent promotions, and I'm sure they'll be like yes, or a deal could be worked out, and then you can have at least one match on each, like rather than just the little clips of matches.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think they've got a really, yeah, I think it's a real great business model they've got at the moment. And we got like an email or a message on from Patreon from one of our pledge hammers that I've moved out of the mailbag into here because it kind of is encompassing here. It's from our Rob Ponson, Ponson Problems. I asked a few months ago, would All In change wrestling as we know it? At the time you said no. Has your view changed? Do you think this has changed wrestling and opened a new era? Did we say no?
No, we said it could change wrestling, or it could completely fall flat, and this is the like the bubble bursting, and everything starts to go on a decline.
Yeah, that was before before tickets had gone on sale.
Yeah, maybe we did say that. Maybe we were more pessimistic. I'm sure Rob knows more than we.
Like, I'd say, I mean,
I can't remember what I said 5 minutes
we
ago.
We did say that we were unsure whether they could sell out the 10,000 seats because it was like an you know, an unknown
without
thing.
Without a CM Punk Daniel Bryan,
yeah, and then like completely proved us wrong. Am I happy to eat that humble pie? Pass me that slice over. Yeah. I'll eat two of them, thanks.
They didn't even have a Neville. There was a perfectly good Neville lying around. They found a Chris Jericho instead. It's weird looking back on like the months leading up to this and these Saturday show titles. It's like, will Chris Jericho be All In? And we're both sitting there going, no, he's too big for it.
He said that he wouldn't do it. What marks we are.
So yes, very happy to be wrong. And I think there is this swell of optimism because we both listen to Wrestling Observer Radio a lot. And one of the interesting things, because Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez were there, it's hearing them talk about the backstage feeling.
Really was interesting.
And how different you have the new generation of guys. Mm-hmm. So, you know, millennials essentially. Your Cody's, your Bucks, your Jay Lethal's. And they're the Flip Gordons, and they're all really nice. And they're like, hey, man, how's it going? And there's none of this political maneuvering or backstage heat stuff. It's just everyone trying to make wrestling nice.
And fun.
Yeah, but then you've got the old-timers who were also there because it was the StarCast convention and you had certain names, you know. And those guys were problematic. Like, they would be in their cliques.
Yeah.
And like, if you went over and talked to one of them and not the other, they would be like, well, why is he doing that?
Yeah.
They would be like, who didn't shake everyone's hand?
Yeah.
And apparently, when some of these old-timers, Meltzer didn't specify who, realised that this show was so successful, they tried to renegotiate their rates with Conrad, who organised StarCast, to get more money out of him. And Meltzer was like, that is the old-school mentality where everyone is just trying to out-con the other person.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because back in those days, wrestling was this such a protected thing. You're essentially conning everyone.
Well,
but
yeah.
Nowadays, the newer generation is, no, this is entertainment. We know what's going on here, really. This is predetermined. So you take that con element out of it. And you don't have to, like, prove yourself to be a big guy because they know what this is anyway.
Exactly. Well, Nash has said on several, Kevin Nash, that is, has said on many shoot interviews and stuff, and he said, like, he's very open about this, that he would often, they would do house shows and be like, well, there's no point in trying. We've already got their money. And
yeah.
Like, and that's his mentality. And that's not just his mentality. That's the mentality of a lot of that generation of wrestlers where, like, why bother putting on a show? Like, I've been paid.
And so compare that to now, where it's like, I don't care if it's in front of 20 people. I'm going to go out there and steal the show and try and have a match of the year candidate.
Well, no, because, like, it makes sense as well. Yeah. Because if you're wrestling in front of, like, you know, 20 people, you're like, well, I want to go out and have the best match possible. Because if that one of those people is booking another show, I want to impress that one person and be booked on more shows. Or if I put on an amazing match and people talk about it on social media, on YouTube shows like this, then that gets me more exposure. That can get me booked on other shows. So you do want to go out and try and impress people and put on the best show possible for the audience that are paid to see you.
Now, this is bringing us on to something that I don't think's been talked about in regards to this yet. This is my secret idea that I've been working on in my head and just mulling over. So you've got this new kind of person in the wrestling industry. And this was All In was really the proving point of we don't need WWE. You speak of the old school and the new school mentality. WWE is totally that old school still. You're like, there's backstage heat if you say the wrong thing.
You're walking on eggshells.
Yeah, you're walking on eggshells. There's like whatever the stories about alleged allegations about Randy Orton and the handshakes.
Mm.
You know, you've got that kind of toxic locker room mentality over there. And then
with the old school love, you know, they hate the fact that you just sit around, you play your video games. Like, oh no, that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to live past 37 as well, which a lot of your lads didn't.
Well, that's
that's a different, know, I know.
You might live past 37, but be in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I'm being very facetious.
Yes. So, you've got this new generation of guys. A new generation of guys who are all in the same mission and hopefully wouldn't stab each other in the back to get that extra spot. When Cody talks about sticking together, being the elite, and making that move together because they're part of a bigger mission to make wrestling what they think it should be. And that, to me, just screams unionization, which is the biggest untouched thing with WWE and wrestlers. Of course, just for context, WWE contracts talent as independent contractors.
They're not signed, technically.
Yeah.
They are independent contractors. That's what Raven was always suing them over.
Yeah, so they're not employees. They have to pay for their own travel. They don't get sick pay. They have to work all these dates. And they can't work for other promotions. They can't take sponsorship deals and do things like the Bucks and Cody are doing. But the reason that's always fallen down, like when Jesse Ventura tried to get it started, when Raven tried to get it started, is because that old school mentality of wrestlers was to do anything to get ahead. So if a bunch of wrestlers start to unionize, someone will go, yeah, I'm just going to take that spot.
Yeah.
But now, maybe that bond is so strong that the top guys are banding together and they might actually be able to start a union.
And if it is going to be anyone, it would be this group of guys.
Yes.
And because they're the guys who've got all the sway at the moment, really within the independent wrestling scene. These are the top guys on the independent circuit. Cody, The Bucks, Paige, Mighty Skrull.
Omega.
You know, these are the guys that are kind of like, and I don't want to say running the independent world, but they more or less are. They're the kings of it at present. And if anyone could start a union, that are genuine union, that protects the well-being of wrestlers, it would be these guys.
And Cody's got the acting side. He's, you know, friends with Stephen Amell. So he, I'm sure, I mean, I would be surprised if he hasn't had chats with actors being like, so how does this all work?
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is a huge thing. If you're like, oh, that sounds like backstage boring stuff and legal technicalities. One theory is that Linda McMahon is now in the small business department in Trump's administration, really to stop any unionization and the independent contractors debate flaring up for WWE.
Yeah.
So this is a huge thing. And Linda spent tens of millions of dollars to get that position, really, in her two previously failed Senate campaigns.
Mm.
It's a
potentially huge thing.
Yes.
We should specify there, because this is very much speculation on your part, and actually on my part as well. But I could see them doing something like that.
Yes.
Or at least trying to.
But yeah, just in terms of other all-in bits, all-in two, and how this... But the one problem with all-in is how many promotions you've got going on there and how long they will all play together for.
Mm, okay, so at the moment it's very much Ring of Honor, New Japan, and NWA.
Yes.
Which is, you know, you've got Billy Corgan in there, you've got Sinclair with ROH, and your man, what's the New Japan
Gator.
President? No, the new president.
Oh,
the Dutch
Harold
guy.
Mej.
Harold Mej, that's the one. Smoking a pancake. How are they all going to be able to play ball together? Because it always happens with businesses. When businesses try to get together, businessmen have different opinions on how, or business people have different opinions on how you should do things.
Yeah, it's weird how like the All In, the name All In really encapsulates all these wrestlers coming together, all these companies coming together. But like that is arguably its biggest strength, but it could potentially be the biggest weakness when it starts to fracture and deteriorate.
And you can imagine that come All In too, Impact will want to be part of this as well, because then you've got Don Callis doing commentary for it, and Don Callis is really behind pushing Impact as a strong brand that people want to be associated with, and he's doing a bloody good job of it, in all fairness to him. So I could definitely
My best
see
friend.
Absolutely. So I could definitely see Callis being like, we need to get Impact involved in this as well, get the Impact guys in there for All In too.
It's just at one point there's going to be a conversation, whether it be for the All In two or 3 years from now, hopefully, if it's still going. And that is, okay, so whose show is this?
Yeah.
Like, is this an all-in show? Because we're just going to start doing our Ring of Honor stuff. Or is this just a Ring of Honor New Japan show?
Yeah.
Or, and then, like, NWA are like, but what about us? And, you know, so it's difficult. Because in a perfect world, I think I would want this to just be a Ring of Honor thing. Because apparently the Ring of Honor production guys were a huge part of how this event was produced.
And it looked so good.
It looked so good. But with an NWA regulatory body for the belts.
Yeah, just well,
for
that the makes sense. Yeah, that
but
makes
then,
sense.
Like, you know, Billy Corgan spent a fortune on those.
Yeah.
He's a man with grand ambitions. Maybe he's like, no, I want to do this.
Yeah, because, and it's not just that, but it's also, like, Billy Corgan may look at that and be like, oh, the success of that show was down to us and the NWA. And then someone's like, well, actually, no, I think Ring of Honor were the people that were really successful behind that. But then what if Harold Mej was like, well, actually, I think it was probably the fact that you got our IWGP heavyweight champion there.
Kenny Omega stole the show, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's when you start to get these sort of butting heads. But I would like to think that in this beautiful world of wrestling we are currently in, that everyone is in this together. They are all in. And they'll be like, do you know what? Let's just work together and make this good.
Yes, but against the common enemy of WWE.
But I don't even think it's a common enemy, because I don't think that you can see... Because WWE aren't technically competition, because you're not competing against them. You're just doing this for wrestling fans.
Mm.
Because they're not... WWE is appealing to a very different market than All In is doing. So I don't see you can really... I know we titled this video as WWE versus All In. WWE, the only thing they can really do, because they're not going to be able to get the fans, is to just try and get the talent.
Yes.
And that's where All In 2... That's what All In 2 will rest on, is trying to steal the talent away from the show. They managed it with Deonna Purrazzo. That was the only one they managed to get.
Couldn't even get Rey Mysterio to
Couldn't even get Reg to
commit.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Rey's starting within days, apparently, reportedly.
But that's been... I've heard that since January,
well,
mate.
Well, it's because the one sticking point was he wanted to work All In.
Oh, really?
And WWE were like, no, we want you to not do All In.
Yeah.
And he was like, let me do All In. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So he did All In, and yeah, he's finishing up dates.
Okay, interesting.
So yes, but yeah, Chris Jericho is this wild card as well.
Apparently, the WWE were furious, yeah. And
they
didn't know that he was going to show up. Mike Johnson on PW Insider said that when Jericho popped up, his phone started to buzz with loads of text messages from people working for WWE going like, is Jericho on the show? Is Jericho at All In? And he's like, yep, I'm looking at him right now.
Why weren't they watching the show?
They're not allowed to watch other wrestling, you know that.
Anyway,
poisons the mind.
Should we do some crap gimmicks?
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Just shortly before we do the crap gimmicks, we are sponsored. The Wrestle Ramble is sponsored this week by Fight Forever, which is kind of continuing this groundswell of non-WWE shows. We've had All In, we've got WrestleMediaCon right now, and then where Fight Forever team are actually going to be, so we can say hi to them. In December, in the first week of December, Fight Forever, like this new wrestling promotion in the UK, but their nights are... Here's a wrestling show, you know, like with Cody Rhodes, with Flip
Cody
Gordon.
Who?
Cody, just Cody, with Brandy. Jesus Christ, if I see her in the flesh, I don't know what's going to happen. Enormously creepy.
That was the creepiest
Nothing
thing you've ever said.
Nothing towards her. I mean, I just might, like, you know, need to get another drink.
Fawn over you, like you did with Kevin Kelly.
Yeah, oh my God, Kevin Kelly.
Still my favourite story.
Beat still my heart.
Do you want me to introduce you to Kevin Kelly? No, I can't. can't.
No, oh, man.
I couldn't meet Kevin Kelly.
We've probably met Don Callis by now at Wrestling MediaCon. I don't know how I'm going to do that in the flesh. I always have a little freak out before I'm going to speak to him on the phone. But yes, it's Cody Rhodes, you've got Flip Gordon, Jimmy Havoc, Zapp Gibson, Travis Banks. Will Ospreay was on a poster. Oh. I don't know if he's been announced, though. You'll have a wrestling show with matches, and then a live podcast, something to wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Comrade.
Wow.
That you get to. And then after that, an after party hosted by either Papa Shango or The Godfather.
Oh, okay. So it's Charles Wright.
No. They are different people, depending on which night you go to.
If I was to go to anyone's party, I'd want it to be The Godfather's rather than Papa Shango's. Because if it's Papa Shango, he's going to make me throw up black liquid from my mouth. Mm,
a viscous black liquid.
Mm, absolutely.
And The Godfather, in real life, Charles Wright owns some strip clubs, doesn't he?
He certainly does. That's his business now, which is why when they're in Vegas, often the Godfather will show up because he's literally just down the road. And they're like, just pop down for a little bit. And
I imagine that's a guy who knows how to host a party.
Well, I remember a shoot interview with The Godfather I listened to once. And he was talking about, Charles Wright. And he was talking about how much fun he had as The Godfather character. Because it's like, it's just who I am. Like, that was not me acting. That's just how I am. Which is why he hated doing Papa Shango. It's why he hated being The Good Father, because that's not who he is. Who he is quite literally The Godfather.
Anyway, so it's quite a unique bumper evening of wrestling entertainment. It's all these different fan parts attached to it. And you can go and follow Fight Forever at Fight Forever UK or on Facebook at Fight Forever Wrestling. And the tickets are on sale in the link below. It's like Fight Forever at eventbrite.com. But yeah, like we might. I want to go to the London shows.
I was going to say, I'd imagine we'll be there.
Yeah, because it's sponsored by Wright, so we should get tickets. So we'll be there as well, I guess.
Absolutely.
Getting drunk at the bar with The Godfather. Then off to Spearmint Rhinos.
Well, you lecheringly look after Brandy Rhodes.
Hey, no, I shouldn't have said that. I just think she's enormously attractive.
That's all the comments are going to be on this video, is you after Brandy.
I'm not even going to. Tell me some crap gimmicks.
I'm teasing you. So this is some crap gimmicks now. If you're new to this show and
it's
you're
a body-focused industry. That's what I'm saying.
If you are new to the show and wondering what the heck is a crap gimmick, crap gimmick is a segment we do on the Saturday edition of the Wrestle Ramble where you, the SWAF Nation, message us with your crap gimmick proposals that we might possibly sign to crap gimmick wrestling. What's a crap gimmick? Well, you can kind of think of it as like that 90s mentality within WWE where you are a wrestler and a blank, or it could be something completely different. We've had robots, or at least people who think they're robots. We have had people who are quite literally haikus. We've got all sorts of people on here, so let's see who might get signed this week.
Yeah, just before we do that, I haven't done this yet. So this is the murder room, because we've got studio issues and we're recording from somewhere else. A lot of people have said they like this, they prefer this to the t-shirt backdrop.
We'll come to that in the mailbag.
Okay, but one other problem with this place. Is the skylight. Yeah. We cannot white balance because the light keeps changing.
Yeah.
There's no way to close this.
We've got two lights here that are trying to light us,
but
it is a losing battle against this ginormous skylight that we've got here.
Well, we're losing a battle against the biggest light ever. It's the sun.
Mm.
That's just to say, it's not a slow nuclear blast that is overexposing the screen. It's the sun. Carry on.
Yeah, the sun is a bigger star on the independent scene than Cody at the moment. So this first one comes in from Christian Procel, I'm going to say. P-R-O-C-E-L or Procle, perhaps. This was sent to us on July 1st. If you want to send in your crap gimmick, it's luke@wrestletalk.com. One more time, luke@wrestletalk.com. I'd tell you the dates they were sent to as well, because I have got a massive backlog, which is nearing 200 at the moment. So his suggestion, this is Christian's suggestion, is Colin Gaston. whose finisher is Caution to the Wind, which is a shooting star press, and a gut buster to set it up. Gaston has incredibly bad irritable bowel syndrome, and he sometimes wins matches by countout because his opponents can't stand the constant farting. Some go as far as to wearing a gas mask to try and stay in the match, but sometimes still manage to lose with Gaston's incredibly potent Caution to the Wind if he's able to execute it. You often see Gaston taking swigs from a bottle of Pepto-Bismol to try and control his digestive issues. Gaston regularly goes after the Intercontinental Breakfast Championship, and while he's an amazing performer, he's yet to successfully win due to forfeiting most matches because he needs to rush to the toilet. He'll often still in the middle of a match. Nope, that doesn't make any sense. Okay, as a true underdog, CGW fans seem to get behind him, hoping to one day see Gaston achieve the impossible and finally win the Intercontinental Breakfast Championship.
I thought we were getting the Beauty and the Beast gimmick when I first heard the name.
It's almost disappointing it wasn't, really.
Yeah, Gaston.
No one farts like Gaston.
Yeah, and he'd come out in song all the time.
Yeah.
So I actually quite like this. You know, Vince McMahon's brand of potty humour.
Toilet humour.
Is quite frustrating sometimes. But I think that means there's a good place on the crap gimmick roster for a farting gimmick.
Yep. I would. The only thing I would take out is the rushing to the toilet, because this is where your pitch kind of contradicts itself, because a lot of the time you say people just go out of the ring and he wins by countout, but then you say he loses most matches because he has to rush to the toilet. He can't be both.
That is an issue with the pitch. I would also like to add something, and that is, so the shooting star is the finish. There must be some kind of production gimmick that you can put in the pants to when he lands that shooting star, a little, like, a brown splatter goes. He must wrestle in white, tighty white pants.
Absolutely, yeah, that's a good addition.
There's a rich tradition of wrestlers pooing themselves in matches. CM Punk famously
did it. I was going to say, CM Punk once made a big joke about it and then was told not to make that joke.
Mm. Yeah. So, yes, next one.
So, Brian Fogarty, who is a pledgehammer, this is also sent on July 1st, has emailed in the veterinarian, who looks like Trish Stratus. She's a qualified veterinarian in her late 20s. Now, we don't really have a lot to this pitch, but this is her catchphrase. Want to see my puppies? Which can be expanded upon. She could stand at the top of a ramp and ask the crowd, want to see my puppies? Then as the men in the audience channel their inner Jerry Lawler, two puppies are brought out from the back. The breeds of puppies can change week to week. That's the pitch.
I mean, that's great.
Yep.
It's so strong just on that one. And then she would go, she wouldn't wrestle. Then she would leave. Yeah. It would just be like an Elias thing.
Yeah, she's basically like, it's a parody of like early 90s, early 2000s women in WWE, where you are just brought out to be a sex object, but actually you've got some nice dogs.
And I think that's a really nice payoff, because who doesn't love cute puppies?
Absolutely.
Like, even the frustrated people, I wanted to see some breasticles, but then you'll be like,
Look at those nice dogs. They're so nice.
They're rolling around together.
Yeah. And the fact that it's a different breed each week as well, you can turn it into a big like deal, because everyone, like, after a while, people will get in on the joke. Mm. And people will then be like, hooray!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They'll be counting down the minutes on the weekly CG Dub show to when this spot happens.
Yeah.
That is good.
That is good. And our last suggestion comes in from Will Beaven on July 2nd, the critic. He always enters just after the previous match has ended, with a mic in hand, giving his opinion on spot and rating the match. But he changes the scales he rates the matches with each week. Sometimes he uses stars, and sometimes he uses wrestler-related puns for specific wrestlers. He's primarily a heel. The critic often turns promos into a mess by pointing out irrelevant flaws in whoever is questioning him. Upon facing criticism, he gets flustered and tends to try and escape, giving silly excuses, as ironically, he can't actually deal with criticism himself, which has led him down this path of a hypercritique of others. His finisher, and this is where why I liked it, is the face meltzer, which is a similar to the crossface.
Mm.
Good pun and work there.
Yeah.
Sounds like face melter.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's kind of, you know, when you take things personally, we're essentially critics.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
I'm someone who suffers from colitis, so the first one was a bit of a dig at me as well.
That is good. I wasn't as into it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Maybe I feel like we've got a lot of gimmicks where people just come on and I rate it. Like, they do a little bit and then the match.
Yeah. A lot of promo work in CG Dub.
Yeah. But that's crap for you. It would be. So out of the three, I've got to be honest.
The veterinarian
is my favourite.
That's who I'm going with as well. And that's not just because he's a pledgehammer, but I like the veterinarian.
Him.
Congratulations. If you would like to send a message to the mailbag, all you have to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers by donating on Patreon. Just go over to patreon.com/wrestletalk, I think it is.
Yeah, do you want to give an update? We were so close. So we were pushing Patreon all through August, and so many of you very generously became Patreons.
Yes.
And we were, because we need 750, that's our goal, to make weekly NXT reviews happen. So
yeah.
Wrestle Rambles for NXT every week. And we were so close, we got to 738. But then what happens with Patreon, at the start of each month, everyone's cards get charged again, you know. And some people get declined, others get like, oh no, it's a fraud thing, even though it isn't, it's fine. And yeah, we've gone down to 680.
Yeah, so a lot of people either pledged without the intention of sticking around, or yeah, payments got declined or things like that. So it's always worth, if you did get declined but you wanted to remain being a patron, worth going back to Patreon to find out what happened. Because we did get in touch, someone got in touch with us on Twitter to say that their payment was claimed, like their bank called them to say, we think this is fraud, and they had to go like, no, I meant to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I actually do give money to these guys. The bank's like, these guys?
What, these guys?
No, this is fraud. We'll just cancel it for you.
Did you mean Cultaholic? No, I actually genuinely meant these lads.
Oh, haven't we got someone I missed a shout out for?
Yes, you have. Apparently, you missed out a couple of people.
Luke was on holiday recently, and I did bad shouting outs.
Yes.
Apparently.
But
it's because I got everything on the 29th of August. So anyone who donated post that date in the last 2 days of August were missed out.
So the two people that were missed out, at least that have let us know, are Mo Space, we haven't got a wrestling name for you yet, and someone who's given themselves a wrestling name, is the real deal sex appeal Andy Puckett.
Thank you very much. I definitely remember that name.
Yeah, he said I also got skipped over this month.
Oh, sorry, Puckett.
Although that was 2 weeks ago, so maybe it's because you hadn't done the shout out.
Oh, it could be. Well, you get a double shout out.
Yeah.
And the Mo Space. Find me on Mo Space.
Lovely stuff.
That's your nickname.
Yeah. Tom. Yeah. From Mo Space.
Tom
from Mo Space.
Find me from Mo Space.
So our first message comes in from
Mo Space Mountain.
I like that one. That's good. Our first email comes in from Jared Connitzer, who says, call me what you will, but I've chosen to jog with only one other person. It's been a phenomenal decision, in my opinion. There's no jealousy about jogging with others, and there's no regret about jogging with others in the past. I know people will argue with this, but that is my thought.
So anyone who is confused by this jogging metaphor might want to become an after swafter. Listen to Wednesday's podcast intro.
Yeah. Because we have a section on there called The Agony Arts, because we're the masters of The Agony Arts, where people send us their real-world problems, and we try and give the best advice we possibly can, which usually ends up being terrible advice, because we're not actually that
smart.
We're
not qualified.
We're not qualified. And that is based on an email that was sent to us. We won't go into the details of it here. But it's about jogging. And I'm doing big air quotes for podcast listeners. Who will have heard the email? Thomas Westhead has messaged in to say, like, is anyone else... I thought I popped you. Is anyone else really starting to grow attached to the murder room? Or is it just me?
Okay. It's just you, like, certainly not me.
No.
Well, I don't know if you can hear it. We've got a band next door. We can hear it.
I
don't know if it's picking up on the mics.
Mm-hmm.
There is the sun issue. There is a weird damp smell.
I can't wait to get out of here, in all fairness.
This is only one room, so we can't really... At the moment, Fakador is in my flat 5 minutes down the road while we're here, and then we're going to go and collect him. So we can't... This is not a optimum working environment.
It's not, no. But when we do move into our new studio, we're going to have a new set.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll start adding to it.
Absolutely, yeah, which was obviously...
Not right off the bat.
Which is our previous Patreon goal, which we are still working towards.
Because the studio fell apart.
Yes, pretty much. Razman's Reality has emailed in. Now, this was an interesting one. I thought you might have some thoughts on this. Hey, guys, hope you're well. If this doesn't feel like something you would want to answer on the show, feel free to PM me or whatever you can if you want to. I'm thinking about getting into making wrestling videos myself. Mm. I used to make them as well as write opinion pieces for a few websites a few years ago. ago. The reason I stopped making videos was because I found it so hard to get noticed on YouTube, because I find you have to put certain things in your title in order for people to know what the video is about. Since there are so many other videos about the same thing, your video gets passed over. Since you guys clearly have found something to build viewers, I was wondering if you had any advice for me if I decide to do it again. I thought about going the podcast route instead, but I simply don't have the money to be able to afford hosting at the moment.
So piggyback off the success of an existing TV show called Wrestle Talk is my success.
Just your secret.
My secret. So video content is already very hard to do because you want to make it look good. Like, this isn't filmed off our phones.
Yeah.
This is filmed using professional equipment and rubbish headsets. So, yeah, and YouTube has become very oversaturated in recent years. So that does make... It depends what you're in it for. Like, if you... Like, we didn't start out wanting to make a business of this or, like, a real big thing. It was just because we love wrestling, and before that we loved movies. So, yeah, it's difficult, but you do want to see some uptick in viewers. So I wouldn't blame that on YouTube. I would just, you know, take that as feedback to maybe change what you're doing if you're not getting the success that you want.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, my thing, so a lot of people have asked, like, should I start a podcast? What if no one listens? My thing has always been just do it anyway. Like, do it because you enjoy making them. Like, when we used to record our old movie podcast, it didn't have a massive audience, but we really enjoyed just getting together every week to talk about movie news. Mm. And just, I mean, it's essentially that we were recording conversations that we would have had anyway.
Yeah.
And people just managed to get in touch with us. So it's do it because you like doing it is basically the main thing, really.
Yeah, because if you do it in, if you're in it for the success, like, people will see through that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that'd be my advice as well. Just do it because you fancy it. So I'm going to see, maybe, okay, last question we'll do here is from Alex Allen. Hi.
Alex All In.
That's what I thought as well when I wrote it down. Alex All In. Hi, Ollie. Hi, Laurie. And hey, Luke, even though you're on vacation. I'm back now. I hope you guys are having a great day. I just wanted to know, what are your guys' opinion on the build and match for Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk? I went back and rewatched the match, and I remember how much I was into this feud that began with Paul Heyman turning on Punk. I just wanted your guys' input. Much love, Alex.
Oh, great question to end on. I can't remember the build.
No, I can't remember the build either, to be honest.
This was SummerSlam.
Yeah. Fun story for you. When CM Punk did that, the infamous Colt Cabana podcast after he left WWE.
Yeah.
And he talks a little bit about that, how he had a feud with Brock Lesnar. I was shopping at the time, listening to the podcast, and I paused and was like, did he? I completely forgot that it had happened. And that was only a couple of years later.
Man, I can't remember if that was even a good match.
Well, according to Punk, it was the best match on the show, but I mean, yeah, that's just the way that he viewed it. So I honestly don't remember the match, nor do I remember any of the build for it. I wasn't really watching it week to week at that point. I was just reading things as opposed to actually watching it.
I'm sorry I can't answer your question. Yeah, I'd have to go back and have a rewatch and refresh my memory.
Absolutely.
But to kind of like pretend to answer it and actually answer something else, I was looking through Taker's streak today.
The WrestleMania streak?
WrestleMania streak.
The streak of really rubbish matches that only got good in the last few years
he
did it.
Yes. So, of course, you had Shawn Michaels, Triple H, CM Punk, Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And Brock Lesnar ended the streak in that not very good match. But the CM Punk one was actually a really good match.
It's awesome.
And I thought, you know, CM Punk was the last person Taker beat. Did Brock really need to end that streak? Imagine if CM Punk ended Taker's streak.
Well, I remember at the time when Lesnar beat the streak, me and my friend watching it were like a little bit pissed off. Mm. Because I was like, surely you'd want to give that to someone who can benefit from it. And Brock Lesnar did benefit off of that because then he had the match with John Cena and became champion, and he had a bit of a lengthy run with the title in order to drop the belt to Roman Reigns. So, like, but then Seth Rollins won in the end. But, you know, so there was sort of like a point to do it. It was to build this massive Brock Lesnar character up so someone else could beat him. But at the same time, I always thought it just made more sense to give it to someone who could really use it and who could use it on a weekly basis as like a regular character. A friend of mine, like an old university chum of mine, was fuming that Randy Orton didn't beat him when they had their WrestleMania match, because he was like, he's the legend killer. Like, what bigger legend can you kill than The Undertaker's undefeated streak at WrestleMania?
I think in retrospect, though, you get those two Shawn Michaels matches, Triple H. Yes. But if Punk beat him, maybe Punk doesn't leave. Maybe Punk is, you know, very satiated with ending streak, Taker's streak.
Well, that was Punk's problem, wasn't it? It's what you explained on The Art of Wrestling. It was like, yeah, I beat Undertaker, but where's he the following day? Or, like, rather, like, Undertaker beat me, but where's he? And then, like, Brock Lesnar beat him in their SummerSlam match. He was like, you know, and where was Brock Lesnar the next day? Like, I was there at work. So, what has your favourite bit of wrestling MediaCon been?
Well, I'm speculatively in advance, because we haven't gone down there yet. Just meeting the fans, man.
Yeah.
Meeting the fans, hanging out with the fans, having awkward photos with the fans.
Yeah.
Still got to get that down. So you went to Rev Pro last night.
I did.
Last night being Wednesday.
I did. I went to their first set of TV tapings when they're going to be on Free Sports with the channel I believe it's on. And I went down there with Brian Zane from Wrestling with Regrets, which was really cool. It's the first time I've actually met him in person, so that was really nice. He spotted me as well as I walked in. He was like, oh, hey. And I was like, I was about to say like,
hey, Luke, how's it going, Luke? That's my American accent.
I was like, oh, nice to meet you, thinking it was a fan. And I was like, oh my God, you're Brian Zane. And I marked out a little bit. he was a really, really nice guy. And we had a nice time, watched some good wrestling. In particular, and this will be on the first episode, I think, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Kushida, which is
beautiful.
Very, very good. And there is an awesome tag match that I think is in episode 3 between Aussie Open and the White Wolves. And it's absolutely brilliant. It was my match of the night.
I don't know who the White Wolves
are. It's my first time seeing them as well. But I'm really, really like Aussie Open. I'm a big fan of theirs, particularly Dunkzilla.
Who are the White Wolves, though?
I couldn't tell you their names, unfortunately. Okay. I just remember the tag team name.
What's their gimmick?
Probably, I don't know.
They come out like the girl from Glow.
If only. No, they come out wearing purple.
Cool.
But they were also actually very, very good, very impressive from the first time I've seen them. But I'm a big fan of Aussie Open. And there's a spot in there which was like, this was designed just for Ollie Davis, and he's not here for it.
What was it?
Well, it's so Dunkzilla, which is the much larger lad, gets tagged in. And good for the hot tag, and he charges across the ring, and one of them tries to clothesline him, and he just
runs through it. Yes, yes.
But he runs through it and clobbers the other lad on the other side of the ring,
beautiful.
And then turns around and he delivers these whopping chops, and it was absolutely brilliant.
That is my kind of spot. What's it like? What's Brian like in a wrestling show? Does he mark out? Is he there going, oh man, that's not very good?
No, he's, I wouldn't have done that. He's a really like fun guy to watch wrestling with, because he pops for moves and stuff, and he'll like, if it's a big move, he'll go like, oh man, and like, you know, react in that sort of way. We were talking about how like when you watch shows on a weekly basis, you do find yourself sometimes going into critic mode, and you just have to, because you're writing notes, but it's actually just fun to be in a live crowd and watch the show and not have to take notes and things like that.
It's a lot more preferable to watch a show and not have to dissect it as it's going.
We got into a conversation about the overuse of the Canadian Destroyer, and because he works on wrestling shows as well, and he was talking about like whenever he goes to a wrestling show now that he's working, he always sees a Canadian Destroyer being used as setup moves for something else. He goes, and then I saw another one at All In, and then I talked about the Rev Pro show that you and I went to, where someone did a Canadian Destroyer on the apron as a setup move for the finishing for the finish, and that was the opener.
Yeah, well, that, remember, it was a Canadian Destroyer on the apron to set up like a shooting star press, and then a kick out.
Oh, it wasn't even the finish.
Oh, come on. I showed my lady partner a video of Scarlett Bordeaux doing a Canadian Destroyer on, I think, Brian Cage. Can't remember. No, Trevor Lee. And she was blown away. And she was like, that was awesome, because she likes all the flippy stuff. She doesn't really like wrestling, but because she's got a background in circus, she appreciates the athleticism. And I, even though like I showed her this clip, being like, look how cool this is, as soon as she said, that move's awesome, I went, well, actually, it's a bit overdone. You see them everywhere. It was cool 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I hate myself. Well, that's all we've got time for, to cut you off.
You were just about to cut, you
because
cut me
I
off
felt
there.
You going into another story.
But it wasn't,
and we've got a dance routine to go and learn.
It wasn't a story. I was going to point out that we wondered what Petey Williams thinks of the Canadian Destroyer being used as a setup move and being done by loads of other people. Because he was the guy that popularized the move, more or less invented the move. And then I remembered, I've got a connection to Petey Williams because he does a regular radio show, and the guy who runs the radio show is a WrestleTalk viewer, because we used a clip of Petey Williams talking about Jericho going to Impact, and he got in touch with me on Twitter to be like, oh, hey, that's amazing. If you ever want to speak to Petey, just let me know. Oh. Wow. So I said to Brian, I was like, I might just ask Petey Williams what he thinks.
Get him on the blower. We should record that.
Yeah.
But yes, we've got some MediaCon stuff to learn.
Yeah, dancing, more dancing. And if you are around at Wrestling MediaCon, please do stop by and say hello. We're really looking forward to seeing everyone there. And we're very much looking forward to doing the show itself. And if you're a podcast listener, which you clearly are, you'll probably be glad not to have to hear that advert I've got for Wrestling MediaCon at the start of the show. But that's all we've got time for this week. We will see you on Tuesday for the regular Raw review. Have a wonderful weekend if you're not at MediaCon. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.